If you've got a Bible and you'd like to turn with me, we're going to be taking our text this morning from Matthew chapter 2. My sermon this morning is called Don't Go Alone. And it'll become a little more apparent, I hope, as we dive into this word this morning, that what I mean by that. But obviously, we're standing on the precipice of a new year. This is our last Sunday of 2024. We'll be moving into a new year, and a lot of times when people move into New Year's, they take that as an opportunity to make some changes, to put some demarcations in their life and say, going forward, I'm gonna do this differently, or I'm going to apply this, or I'm going to change this. And so as we go into this new year, I want to encourage you to don't go alone. Matthew chapter 2. Verse 13, and I'm only going to read one verse, so I'm going to let you remain seated for it. Now, when they had departed, they are the wise men. The wise men had shown up, obviously, later than everyone else. I know your nativity set has them all there at the same time, but we know that the wise men showed up later than the shepherds and the angel, and Jesus was actually had a little more age on him. He was about 18 months old before the wise men actually got there. So when they had departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise," and I want you to pay attention to the next four words, "take the young child." Who was that young child? In other words, look at a neighbor and say, "take Jesus." Now look at another neighbor and say, "take Jesus with you." Okay, so take the young child, take Jesus and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now, I'm going to be saying some pretty significant things this morning, and I'm going to try not to take a long time to say them, so I'm going to try to bunch them all together. And the first significant thing that I want to challenge you with this morning was that Joseph, Mary, and Jesus was just called by God to a new place, to a new situation. They were warned, listen to what the angel said, if you stay here, Herod's going to kill Jesus. Herod had put out an order of all male children that were born to the Hebrews, 3 and under, to be eliminated, and that included baby Jesus. And the angel said, if you stay here, the enemy is going to get you. See, there comes a time when God is ready to move you into a new season, into a new place, into a new thing. And where you stay can become dangerous if you're not obedient to the move. And this is what they're saying. They were called to a new place, to a new situation. But, he said, don't forget to take Jesus with you. Before you go, make sure you don't go alone. Before you decide to pack up and be obedient to my call, take Jesus with you. Now, we're about to kick off a whole new year where we're going to experience a lot of opportunities, and I'm going to tell you what your opportunities are. There's going to be an opportunity for you to experience steady changes in you. And some of you are not going to like what I have to say this morning because you're waiting for God to promote changes in other people. You want them to change so your life will be happier. You want them to change so your life will be easier. You want God to change the boss so that your work environment is easier on you. But what I'm telling you is that change always happens on the inside of you. When you start praying for other people to get changed, God starts doing a work inside of you because he makes you realize how unsettled you should be staying where you are. He's calling you to deeper water. He's calling you to another instant to grow in him. So he wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be growing. He wants us to be mature. And I'm going to tell you something because, again, I love you and I care about you. And these are things that are and truths that are sometimes hard to swallow. God doesn't care about your level of happiness. I had one right, no amens, in the whole building. God doesn't care about your level of happiness. You know why? Because happiness is fleeting. And happiness is dependent on you. You have to find happiness where you are. You have to be able to make yourself, encourage yourself in the Lord. God doesn't care about your obedience or about your happiness. Do you know what God cares about? Let's look at them. There's five primary purposes that God has for your life. The first one is to be committed to the mission of the kingdom. Hold that in your heart. Because sometimes the mission of the kingdom means sacrifice from you. And God cares more about you being obedient to the big picture than you being happy in the moment. Number two, he calls us to serve others. Yes? Number three, be committed to his family. If we're a believer, we ought to be tuned in to the church. Number four, to worship and enjoy him. I'm going to say that again. The Bible says you were created for his glory. You were made with a purpose, and that purpose was to worship him. It doesn't say for you to worship things, for you to be happy. It says you worship and enjoy him. In him I live, in him I move, and in him I have my being. But when I close myself off to only finding happiness in this realm, then I miss the picture of what I was created to be. Number five, to grow spiritually into the likeness of Christ. I asked you last Sunday, and I'm going to be asking you again probably several weeks in a row. Do you want to be like Jesus? We got two people after Christmas that wants to be like Jesus. What, are you afraid it's a trick question again this Sunday? It's hard. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that it is easy street. Do you want to be like Jesus? Well, if you do, grow spiritually into his likeness. Notice that none of these that I have given you are about you. They're about the kingdom. They're about Jesus. They're about the Father. They're about worship. None of the things that God wants you to grow bigger in has to do with you. Pastor, this is mean. I'm glad you noticed. Because none of the things that God wants you to grow into is about what you want. Because most of what you want is not what he wants for you. Because the things that make you happy are not necessarily the things unless you do these five things. If you do these five things, then the things that you want will make you happy because the things you want will be what he wants for you. But the disconnect we have is when we want things God doesn't want us to touch. We want to please God, but I think sometimes we forget that we are actually signing up for sacrifice. The way that we reach all five of these purposes is through a word that I'm going to use a lot this morning, transformation. There's no doubt that God has ordained this next year for transformation for some of you. Think about how much this past year changed you. If God would have showed you at the beginning of January of 2024 everything you was going to go through last year, you would have thought you couldn't make it. Think about all the transformation that your life underwent this past year, and it changed you. You're different now than you were this time last year. And if that was the case last year, that's also going to be true this year. So transformation is coming. I'm telling you, change is coming. Some of you will take the change and become a better version of yourself. Some of you, if the earth remains and Jesus don't come back to claim his own between now and then, some of you will be looking back over the past year and say, I really messed this up. I'm here to help you. I hope, I pray that I'm here to help you to be the former, not the latter. I want you to take Jesus with you. Before you move into this next season of transformation, I want you to remember to take Jesus with you. And I'm going to have a few points of why this is important for you. The Bible teaches us that God's will for your life is for you to change. Transformation. What do you mean by that? Romans 12 and 2. Look at what Paul says, and I'm going to give it to you in the New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Now, I would love to stop right there and just talk to you for an hour about how the rest of your life is following your thought life. But I don't have time. About how some of the reasons that you feel the way you feel toward other people, feel about yourself, feel about the world, the only reason you feel that way is because you've let your mind wander into areas that it didn't have any business going into. And the rest of you has followed your thought life. And so the problem that we have is that with our thoughts, we often don't let God transform our thoughts. Listen to what Paul says. But you instead are copying the customs and the behaviors of the world. So you're sitting in church every Sunday, but your thoughts are out there. You're praying on Tuesday, but right after your prayer, your thoughts are wandering far from God. You're asking God to move you, to promote you, to heal you, but your mind is trapped in bitterness, envy, lust, addiction. You're not free. And you're trying to move into an area that God hasn't prepared for you yet, because where you are, you're still in bondage. It is quiet in this mortuary. When we follow Jesus, we enter into a continual state of change from where we once were, because he's trying to change you into becoming more like him. I'm going to ask you again, how many want to be like Jesus? Well, you can't get there without change happening. You cannot become more like Jesus until you become less like you. John the Baptist said it better than I ever could. He must increase and I've got to decrease. If I'm going to be like Jesus, there's parts of me that's going to have to die out. And so as you go into the new year, don't go alone. I'm going to give you some points here that when you enter into this new year and you're not going by yourself, you need to take Jesus with you. Why? Because there's benefits to it. The first one is this: when he comes with you, he causes transformation. See, some of you think that people drop out of church just because they get mad at the preacher. But some people drop out of church because they're not willing to change. And when you come to a church where the word is preached and transformation is presented on a constant basis, you have to either change or repel from the message. And when Jesus is walking with you, I got news for you. He is going to change your life. New Year's is the time when a lot of people try to start making what they call resolutions, or they're going to make some kind of changes to their life. And it usually has to do with something about becoming more disciplined. But I think we have an unnecessary hang up when it comes to this word discipline. We don't like the word discipline. The book of Proverbs tells us that discipline is hard, but it reaps good benefits. But discipline is difficult. But discipline doesn't mean that your life has to be difficult and miserable. Jesus comes along in your life to transform you. If you're going to take Jesus with you into the new year, expect your new year to change your old self. That's where I want to start today. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you are weary and carry heavy burdens, And I will give you more stress." It doesn't say that. Come to me, all you who are up under a weight, and I'll tell you that I'll pray for you. That's not what it says either. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I wonder how many of us actually quote that scripture when we need it. When you're under a heavy load, do you keep carrying it? Or do you come to Jesus and let him help you by giving you rest? Now notice he didn't say, "I'm going to take the burden." What he said was, "Even while you're burdened, I'll give you rest." Even when you're tired and weary, I'll give you what you need, which is rest. Take my yoke. That's not in an egg. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Notice what he says here before I move on to verse 30. Notice what he said. He said, if you take my yoke upon you, he said, I'll teach you. Yes? That's what it says. He says, I will teach you. What's he going to teach you? How to be humble and gentle at heart, for you will find rest for your souls. You still want to be like Jesus? Are you sure? Because he's going to make you humble. He's going to teach you how to be humble. He's going to teach you how to be gentle at heart. And some of y'all don't like that because you're holding on to a grudge. Some of y'all don't like that because you feel justified in your bitterness. Some of you don't like that because somebody did you wrong and you want to make sure that they know about it. But he says, I'm going to make you humble. If you're going to take me into your new year, you're going to walk with me, I want you to take my yoke upon you. I'll come back to that in a minute. Verse 30 says, my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. The devil loads you down with heavy burdens. But Jesus said, if you come to me, I'm going to put a yoke around you, and my burden is light. So I don't know about anybody else, but in this new year, I would kind of like some lightening of my burdens. Is there anybody else that I would just like some of the heaviness to come off of my life? Now, what you have to understand about this yoke is that Jesus was talking to people who were familiar with farming, agricultural techniques. And when he talked about a yoke, it was an apparatus that was placed around the neck of two beasts of burden, usually two oxen. And let me show you what Jesus was actually saying here in this text. Because in farming, in those days, they would yoke two oxes together, and those two oxes were responsible for pulling the plow. Yes? You're with me? But they wouldn't just put two oxen of any caliber together. They would put one experienced ox and yoke them with an inexperienced ox. Or an mature, older ox would be yoked up with a younger, immature ox, because they wanted the younger one to learn from the older one. And how better to learn than to be attached to the one that is teaching you? And what Jesus was saying here was, did you notice what he said? He said, you take my yoke and I'll teach you some stuff. Because he said, if I'm going to walk with you, I'm going to teach you how to be humble. You're going to have to apologize to folks you don't want to apologize. Y'all not going to help me, because I'm supposed to be blessing you for the new year, but you don't get it yet. This is a blessing. Did you notice what Jesus said? He said, if you learn from me how to be humble and how to be gentle of heart, then your load will be easy. Some of y'all are carrying around, some of us are carrying around heavy loads, not because God don't love us, but because we are choosing to hold on to strife and malice and discontentment instead of trading it for peace and rest. He wants us to yoke ourselves together with him. And he says, you yoke up with me, walk with me into this new year. Don't leave me out. And I will teach you how to be humble, how to be gentle of heart. And my load that I put on you will be easy. He said, I'm going to teach you how to handle the struggles of life, because you and they are going to be joined together. And if anybody was a great teacher. See, this life is hard. I don't know who ever lied to folks, but it seems like the younger generations have got this idea that life's supposed to be easy. So they get really discombobulated when life kicks them between the eyes. Some of us that are older, we've been expecting it our whole life. We already knew life was going to be hard. But we're born into a harsh climate. We're also born with a natural tendencies to make wrong, sinful choices. So what we end up with is being worn out, tired. You want to know why? You're trying to do things that you know are wrong, or you're trying to become something that you're not meant to be. And you're doing it in the flesh, and it'll wear you out. You want to know why? You want me to be honest? You love me? Jesus' spirit is not going to help you be foolish. So when you walk into this new year and you're taking Jesus with you, the Spirit of the Lord will say, that is not what I have intended for your life. Your purpose is higher than this. My calling for you is not there. That person is not what you're supposed to be doing. That job is not. That career is not. That house is not. That move is not. That is not what I've called you to do. And if you're yoked up with Jesus, Jesus is going to be pulling you saying, nope, not that. You're going this way. And you have to be committed to, I want what he wants, even if it's not what I want. Getting yoked up with Jesus, he helps you bear the weight. What weight? Whatever weight you carry. If it's your kid on drugs, he'll help you bear that weight. If it's a hostile work environment, you can go into that hostile work environment and have your load lifted as long as you're walking with Jesus. Do you want God's blessings? We all want blessed. Don't sit there and look at me in that tone of voice. We all want God's blessings. But here's the problem. I'm about to drop a truth bomb that you have never heard before. To get blessing, it doesn't take favor. It takes transformation. You want to know why? Because what got you this far has to have transformation to get you one step closer. The right doors, the Bible says that God opens doors no man can close. He closes doors that no man can open. Now I'm about to give you a truth that you've never heard before. The right doors will open for you when you are the version of yourself that's supposed to be walking through it. And some of us are knocking on closed doors and wanting God to give us favor and promotion, but we're not ready to walk through that door yet because transformation is still working on you. God's not going to give you a blessing that's going to destroy you. You've got to be willing to be changed on this side of the door before you're going to be ready to walk through it. Number two, Jesus invites us to walk with him. The only reason I put this in there is because I want you to know that Jesus does not invite you to follow a set of rules. When I first got into church, everything was a sin. You looked the wrong way, it was a sin. You chew bubble gum, it was a sin. Women wearing pants was a sin. Women wearing makeup was a sin. Women wearing jewelry was a sin. It seemed like we had a lot of sins involving women. But everything was a sin back then. But the longer I have read the book of Romans, the longer I've walked with Christ, I realize he doesn't give us a set of rules to follow. He gives us a relationship. He invites us to walk with him. He said, come to me and bring all your heavy burdens and I'll put a yoke around you and I will make your burdens light. That doesn't come by following rules. That comes because you and somebody else are now lifting a load that you used to be lifting by yourself. People have asked me through the years, well, do you serve the Lord because it makes everything better? Oh, no. I still fight the same fights you do. Christian people still go bankrupt. Christian folks, mom and dad still pass away. We're not exempt from the pain. We just don't have to lift it by ourselves. He doesn't invite you to follow a bunch of rules. What he does is he says, I want a relationship with you that is so rich and so powerful that you want to do right. You want to be the right person. You want to be transformed. You don't want the cultures of this world to control your thinking. You want to be who I want you to be. So worship and holiness flow out of a relationship that happens in a supernaturally natural way. I don't have to follow rules to be holy. I just have to follow Jesus. Yeah, y'all missed it. I don't have to give you a booklet when you get saved and tell you don't do this and don't do that and don't do this. All I have to do is say, that man from Galilee, do as he did. The Apostle Paul put it like this. Apostle Paul said, as long as I imitate Christ, imitate me. But the minute I stop imitating Jesus, don't you follow me anymore, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he's the one that can show you. Yeah. So at the core of Christianity is not rules. It's a man named Jesus. And this new year, your new year, needs this man, not another set of rules. The Christmas story tells us about some people that had the opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus, but all of them missed it. Let me give you three of them. Number one, the innkeeper. The innkeeper. I'm going to say it again because I'll revisit him at the end. The innkeeper. What'd he tell them? I have no room. Hey, can the King of Glory be born here in your hotel? I have no room. Hey, can Jesus come into your life? I have no room. If the innkeeper would have known who that baby was that was being born, trust me, he would have found room. He'd have kicked somebody out of the presidential suite. He would have made three or four families move out if he would have known who it was that was going to be born. But there was more animals at Jesus' birth than there was people, because nobody had room. If you're going to take him with you into your new year, you're going to have to make some room. Now, starting Wednesday, the first of the month, I'm going to start fasting and praying for at least 25 days, and it's going to be some of the most intense fasting I've ever done, because I have decided that 2025 is my year to declutter. I got three specific areas that I'm asking God to declutter my life. So if you don't see me, if I don't get back to you on Facebook or whatever, it's because I'm decluttering. I'm making room. I'm making room for his voice, for his presence, for his gifts. If I want more of Jesus, I have to make room, because I've only been able to receive this much of him so far. So he's not going to come in unless I prepare a room for him. So I got to have some space. And notice this, the hotel was full, yes? Which means what? Business was good. Sometimes when business is good, sometimes when the bills are paid, you feel like God must be showing me favor. But what you may not notice is Jesus is not there, because you don't have room. There wasn't any room for Jesus. Number two, King Herod. The Bible says that Herod was troubled when he heard the wise men say that they were looking for the King of the Jews. He said, say what again? I'm the King of the Jews. See, Herod's problem was he was happy being king, so he wasn't willing to submit to another king. And some of us are like that too. Oh, yes, you are. You are constantly content running your show. You like Jesus in the vicinity of you, as long as he's not the boss of you. As long as he's not changing stuff in your life, rearranging the things that you have. Y'all not going to help me, so I'm going to get mean for a minute. When Jesus comes with you into the new year, he'll change appetites that you have that are not godly. He will change desires. And if you are content being the king and calling all the shots, then you'll be like King Herod. And you will be destined to be the king and ruler of your existence. But Jesus is not going to force himself on you. But if you want to be more like Jesus, and some of y'all still want to be like Jesus, well, then he's going to be king of all, or he won't be king at all. He can't be king of your job and your social life, but not be king in your house. He can't be king at church and not be king when you go to work. So he's going to be king of everything, and he's going to change some stuff. And if you're going to take him into this new year, you're going to have to get out of his way so he can rule over things like your life and your career and your money and your ambition and your plans. And the reason we have a whole lot of trouble in our world and in our lives is because many of us have rejected the king. Now listen to what I'm saying. We rejected the king. We received the Savior. Everybody likes Savior Jesus. But we have a problem with King Jesus. Because King Jesus tells us what to do. Oh, it's getting quiet in here again. Have you ever noticed how hard it is sometimes for you to do the right thing? Like when you know the right thing and it's hard to do it, is it just me? Like, you know you're supposed to love your spouse, right? You know you're supposed to talk a certain way to your kids. You know you're supposed to respect your boss. And it's sometimes hard to do the right thing, yes? Why is that? Because your flesh, your mind, and your heart wants things and attitudes and mindsets that the Word forbids. I want to tell you all. I want to slap the taste out of your mouth. The Word in Jesus tells me I can't. It's hard sometimes to do the right thing, so let me help you, okay? If King Jesus cannot overrule you this year, if King Jesus can't correct your bad attitude that you've got toward other people, he's not going with you into this new year. Because he's not going to walk with you and let you misrepresent who he is. If he can't tell you no when you want to hear yes, you're walking by yourself. If he can't direct your path, even when you don't want to take it, then he's not going with you. If you ask somebody what the message of the gospel is, too many people believe that the message of the gospel is this: accept Jesus and avoid going to hell. Can I tell you that that is not the message of the gospel? When you read the gospel, it is telling you every day for the rest of your life, you are preparing yourself to meet King Jesus. That's what the gospel is. It's not one prayer, one time, signed, sealed, delivered. It's every day applying this word so I can become more like him. Giving more of myself away so I can receive more of who he is. This shirt says Jesus is king. I hope you mean that. Because a king tells you when to get out of bed. He tells you where to go to work. He tells you when to get up in the morning. A king will tell you to apologize to folks you don't think you did wrong. A king will make you bake some cookies and take it to somebody that's been talking bad about you. A king will show up and disrupt you because he says, I know you don't like their attitude, but I'm not a fan of yours either. Don't get quiet on me. I'm still going to preach. And the ones that scared me the most of the Christmas story of the people who had a chance to meet Jesus but missed the opportunity are the Bible scholars. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 4, Herod called the chief priests and the scribes, and he asked them, because he's looking for baby Jesus, he wants to kill the babies. He wants to kill this king. And he called them together and he asked them, where is the king of the Jews supposed to be born? He asked them because they should know the scripture. And in Matthew chapter 2, verse 5, so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Now that is quoting Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And they knew the scriptures.
Look at your neighbor and say, they knew Bible. They knew Bible. So they knew where he was supposed to be born. Notice what it says. Herod called the religious muckety-mucks and said, hey, I heard the king of the Jews was born. Where's he supposed to be born? And they gave him correct information, which means they knew where. So why wasn't they going to find him? In other words, they knew the truth, but they wasn't interested in pursuing it. Do you know how dangerous it is to memorize scripture and not apply it? Because knowing word makes you feel spiritual. But what you have to understand is the written word should always lead you to look for the living word. If you're going to take Jesus with you, it's going to mean more than just memorizing some scripture, because spiritual information without any application leads to emotional constipation. Because it's hard for God to get through to somebody who knows the word but isn't interested in following Jesus. Because King Jesus takes you into uncomfortable places. He makes you change, transform. So the people, shepherds, they weren't in church, but they was looking for Jesus. Wise men, they weren't in church, they were looking for Jesus. But the church who knew where he was supposed to be, didn't bother to go look for him. Unless your knowledge of the Bible leads you to a deeper walk with the Savior, you might be walking alone. You know what Jesus told the scribes in John chapter 5? He said, you search the scriptures, but you don't have life because you don't come to me. In other words, you're looking for answers in the book, but you'd get the answers if you would just come to me. If you would just ask me, I would tell you the answers. Now, you need to read the Bible. Don't miss it. Don't hear what I'm not saying. You need to read the Bible, but that should provoke you. You shouldn't just read the Bible and close it and say, well, that was cute. A good word ought to mess you up. The Holy Spirit with the Word of God ought to make you close the Bible with tears in your eyes and say, I've got some changing I've got to do. I've got some transformation that I need to happen in my life. Because you can study the Bible, and be carnal. You can memorize Scripture and be lost. Number three, who does Jesus invite? He invites broken people. Let me tell you, there's two kinds of people in the world. The ones who know they're broken and the ones that ain't figured it out yet. In other words, Jesus invites everybody because we're all broken. But some of us, what did he say? I'm going to keep going back to that. What did he say? When you take my yoke upon you, I'll teach you how to be what? Humble. And too many of us are too prideful to admit we're broken. So we're not walking with him. We're not inviting him into our new year because we say things like, I got this. Newsflash, you don't. That, and if you think you do, well, I went to this college and got this degree. I worked 80 hours a week and I got this promotion. Let me ask you some other questions, Job. Where were you when he flung the stars in the sky and they stayed there? Where were you when he told the oceans they could only come this far? And where did you get that air that fills your lungs? Where did you get the beat, 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 pitter-pat of your heart? Because I promise you, if it had not been for the Lord on your side, some of you would not be sitting in this room this morning. He has protected you up to this point. He deserves some glory for it. In other words, Jesus invites all of us because we're all broken. We just need to realize it, acknowledge it, and own it. Number four, Jesus invites us to rest in him. See, a life of following Jesus is not an easy life. It's not free of problems, but it's a life where we have peace in the midst of our problems. We hate discipline. That's what Proverbs tells us. But discipline makes life easier, not harder. That's why he's always trying to teach you to transform your thinking. Because the more of the mind of Christ you develop, the easier it is for you to become more like him. Number five, Jesus invites us to live his life through ours. This isn't following a set of rules. It's not trying to please God by doing the right things and not doing the wrong things. Jesus said, I want to live my nature through you. It's about loving him more than I love my own life. Can I just tell you, if he's going to go with you into this new year and you're going to get everything out of it that you need, it's going to be because you decide you want what he wants for you and you desire that more than what you want for you. I wonder if there's anybody in here that feels that way. That even when you don't like what you're facing, you're going to love him more than your comfort. You're going to love him more than your desires. Is there anybody that's made up their mind that no matter what he calls you to, you're willing to do that, even if it doesn't make you happy? I got two people. God, you got two people at Promise of Victory. Everybody else has got you on layaway. I don't know what it's going to take for us to become committed enough. Because some of us have this relationship with Jesus that sounds like this. I give myself away as long as it doesn't cost me too much. I surrender some. Some of us have a relationship with Jesus that says, I want all of the benefits of a relationship, but only part of the responsibility. King Jesus, I need you to make my family whole. I need you to heal my body. I need you to still the storms in my life. And in return, I will give you some Sundays in your house. What I've been preaching to you when I first got into church many years ago was summed up with bracelets people wore that said WWJD. What would Jesus do? That's what I've been preaching to you all morning. Your life should reflect Jesus. Your life should be in this situation, right here, right now, with this person in front of me. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus act with this person? How would Jesus respond to this problem? What would Jesus do? He came to earth to show us how to live. And I can do that as long as I stay in a right relationship with him. Some of us won't come to church on Sunday morning to get to Jesus. The wise men spent about 18 months on camels because they realized getting to Jesus was an important thing in their life. It's important to follow him, but you can't follow him if you don't know who he is. And I don't know about anybody else in this room, but I need Jesus to go with me into this new year. So some of you in here have a decision to make. And if you don't make it today, you're going to make it at some point. Well, no, you think you're not making a decision, but not making a decision is making a decision. I know in a room this size, I've got some people that are like the innkeeper. You got so much going on. You got so much. You don't have any more room for any more Jesus. If that's you, I hope you'll come to the altar this morning and pray that
beginning this new year, I want to make some space for Jesus. That's what I'm doing. I'm decluttering my life. I got three specific areas of my life that I'm going to be fasting and praying for, because I need to declutter. I need to make more room because I need more Jesus. And he's not going to be able to give you more of himself if you don't make some room. Or maybe there's some people in this room that's like King Herod. And you don't want to submit to the King of Kings because you like being the shot caller of your life. You don't want Jesus to tell you what you don't want to hear. You want his blessings, but you don't want to submit to his authority. You really, really, really want him to show you favor, but you really don't want more responsibility. So I'm calling all the Herods to come forward this morning. I resign as the king of my life. King Jesus, I need you. I need more of you. As I walk into this new year, I want to take Jesus with me. I'm going to walk into this new year one way or the other. I just don't want to go alone. I'm going into this new year. I just don't want to go by myself. Does anybody need more Jesus? Do you need to make some room in your life for Jesus? Do you need to resign as the authority in your life so King Jesus can have the place he deserves? If that's you, come forward this morning and join us in prayer.